just what I needed. When I came back to work here on Tuesday, I felt really chill. It actually made me realize how stressed out I had been before I left. I felt after I came back like I'd had more time to talk to people, more desire to want to be with my friends, and I didn't even care that I never got around to scrubbing the mold off of my back deck. Felt so much better. Well, the reason I'm sharing this is that practicing the Sabbath is something that I've struggled with throughout my life. I come from generations of shift workers who didn't have the option of saying no to working on a Sunday. It was a case of you either go to work or you lose your job. Before I was a pastor, I worked in a group home, and I had to work every other Sunday. When you work in healthcare, you don't have the option of saying, well, sorry, it's Sunday, it's the Sabbath, I can't look after people. So living with these realities, I've struggled to figure out what it means for me and my family to practice Sabbath. I'm betting a lot of you can relate to how that feels. Maybe it would be easier if the tomatoes just stopped turning ripe on Sundays. I feel like there's got to be a gene we can find to make that happen, right? But sometimes work just needs to get done, even on the Sabbath. But yet, God commands us to rest. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Pastors Charlene and Kendall have been preaching about this over the past few weeks. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is to the Lord your God a Sabbath, and you shall not do any work. So did God give us a commandment that's impossible to keep? What's the deal with that? And to be honest, I found this commandment really tough. It's actually a lot harder to me than not coveting my neighbor's ox. What adds to the difficulty, too, is that we live in a society that values busyness. When somebody asks you how you're doing, how many times have you said to them, oh, I'm super busy right now? No, I've said that. That's because we live in a consumer-driven capitalist culture. Our society values people based on how productive they are. But that's not a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview places value on people just because they're human beings created in the image of a holy God. So you don't have to do anything in order to be valuable according to the scriptures. You just have to be. You're valued not for what you accomplish, but for who you are. So just think of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. The psalmist doesn't say, find God by getting more stuff done. Find God by working harder. Find God by being more successful. It says, just be still. It says, God is already with you right now, where you are at in this very moment. That kind of rubs against the grain of our Mennonite work ethic, doesn't it? So let's take a look at Mark 6. When we read this passage closely, we can see some evidence of burnout that's about to happen. Now, many of you are probably familiar already with the miracle of the loaves and fishes. You know the story where Jesus feeds a crowd of over 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But let's take a deeper look this morning at the context of when this story is happening. So Jesus has just sent his disciples out in groups of two to preach the gospel in all the nearby surrounding villages. Their movement is spreading quickly. And it's spreading so fast that soon King Herod's court hears about this. They were already resentful about Jesus' popularity, but this further provokes their anger. Now Herod had John the Baptist arrested already, and soon Herod's girlfriend Herodias manipulates him into killing John the Baptist in retaliation for John's criticism about their relationship. Now word gets back to the disciples about John's death. As they're out in the villages, they hear about this and they return back to Jesus. They're probably feeling pretty shocked and upset by what had just happened. Just as their ministry is really starting to take off, they lose John, one of their key leaders, one of Jesus's close friends. And I'm sure that they're all experiencing a lot of really intense grief at that time. But right in the middle of this, they get flooded by a huge crowd of people. Remembering, they had just been out preaching. Now they come back, the people follow them back to Jesus. Verse 31 says the disciples were so overwhelmed, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus says to them, "Guys, we need a vacation. Let's get away from everything for a while. Let's take a break." So he sends them away on a boat across the lake to get away. Now, unfortunately, the crowd is smart, and they figure out where Jesus and the disciples are going, and they race, and they get to the spot first. Now, the disciples are exhausted. They're grieving. They're probably feeling pretty at the end of their rope, pretty burnt out. And Jesus has just told them to go take a break, and then their work follows them home. But the text says, Jesus had compassion on the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus changes his vacation plans and he spends a few more hours teaching. Now eventually it gets late. The disciples come and ask Jesus to please send the crowd away so that those people can go get some food. But think about it. Is it really the crowd who was hungry and tired? Or is it actually the disciples? The crowd, to me, seems to be pretty ready to keep going. They follow Jesus all the way around the lake. They're so excited. I think the people who are actually hungry and tired are the disciples. And then Jesus asks them for one more thing. He tells the disciples, "You feed this crowd." Seriously? They're like, "That's great, Jesus. With what money?" So let's sidebar here for a moment. I wonder if Jesus is pushing the disciples a little bit on purpose. Could it be maybe that he wants them to acknowledge their need to take a break? Notice that they never actually ask Jesus for some downtime. He's the one who tells them that they need it. Well, Jesus asks the disciples how much food they have with them, and they come up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus, of course, blesses this little bit, and then miraculously, it's enough to feed everybody, the whole crowd, and even have more left over than what they started with. Immediately after dinner, Jesus sends his disciples away to another town. Notice, they still don't ask Jesus for some time off. He has to basically order them to go. And then he goes himself. He goes off in a different direction, not even with the disciples, but by himself to spend some time alone and in prayer. So let's consider a little bit of what we can learn from this text. It's a very rich text. There's a lot more to it than just this. But here are a few learnings that I found in the text. First, Jesus observes that the disciples need a break. Even though they can't seem to acknowledge that for themselves, they have lots of opportunities to ask Jesus for some downtime, but they don't. Jesus ends up basically having to order them to take a vacation. Second, the disciples get cranky. When they're hungry and they don't even have time to eat, they start stretching the truth. They tell Jesus to send the people away to buy food, but they already had everything they needed to feed the crowd. Third, Jesus sees that the disciples are tired and hungry. He knows this, and he provides them the food and the rest that they need. Fourth, at the end of this passage, Jesus actually passes up an opportunity to do more work. Jesus steps away from the crowd. He could have stayed. He could have done a lot more preaching. The crowd seems pretty geared up for that. But Jesus steps away. He needs to take some time off. He needs some time alone and in prayer. So even Jesus has a very human need for Sabbath rest. So how can we apply this learning to our lives? Well, first, we can see that it can be really hard for people to admit when they need a break. I think there are lots of reasons for that. Sometimes, probably pride. We might be overly busy because we want to look important. We want to feel like we're essential, we're needed. Maybe sometimes it's fear. We worry about what will happen if we step away for a little bit. We're afraid that everything's just going to fall apart without us. Sometimes maybe it's stubbornness. We think we can just tough it out, just a little longer. Sometimes maybe it's a lack of trust that God will actually keep working even when we aren't. It's almost like a denial of our human selves. We can do it, we can do it. But it's a good and godly thing for us to acknowledge when we need a break. Even Jesus did that. Second, when we don't look after our own needs, we get cranky. If we're not well rested, it becomes hard to interact well with other people. It's hard to get our work done well. We're way more tempted to cut corners and take the easy way because we just don't have as much energy. So we need rest so that we can be at our best. Third, God invites us to be honest about our normal human needs. God created our bodies and our minds. And God didn't have to give human beings a need for sleep. He didn't have to give us stomachs that need food. He didn't have to give us legs that need exercise. But God created us as we are, and God knows that we need these things. So God knows we need times of rest. And God wants us to take that downtime, just like Jesus did. So God created the Sabbath for us to have that opportunity to rest in God's presence. Finally, God provides for our needs. This includes our need for rest, our need for relaxation, our need for fun, all of our other needs. The world's not going to fall apart if we take some time off. God is still at work, even when we are not. And so we can rest with the assurance that God is looking after things. We're not supposed to be God. We're not supposed to be in charge of everything. God is God. Trusting God means letting go of our need to keep the world running and allowing the things that we really care about to be placed in God's care. And this is what the Sabbath teaches us. It's about allowing Jesus to give us that permission to take a break. You don't have to be constantly doing stuff to please God. God is already pleased with you. God invites you to take some time to just sit, to just relax, to open yourself up to the movement of the Spirit in your own life. So Julian of Norwich was a woman who I think did that well. She lived in medieval England during the time of the Black Plague. Over a third of Europe's population was wiped out during that time. I can hardly imagine a more stressful situation than living through that. But it was during that time that Julian wrote this prayer. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I see this prayer as an acknowledgement that Julian couldn't fix all the problems in the world. She certainly couldn't stop the plague. But she could trust that no matter what else might be going on in that world around her, God was still at work for good. So she made the choice to let go and to surrender all of her concerns into God's care, trusting that God would hold them. So I'd like to invite you now to enter into a time of resting with God, just being with God. We're going to take 2 minutes, and we'll close that time with the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to have 2 minutes of silence. And during that time, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to accomplish anything. You don't even have to think anything. You can just simply allow yourself to just rest and to just be with God. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.